Well, like most church days, this morning Kara and I took what we call the pretty route to church. There's a couple of ways we can get to church. We live on the east side of town. But the pretty route is we go on this windy Avery Drive right out here. You pass by Chandler Park and you go by the river. And especially in the summertime, it's incredibly beautiful with all the trees and everything in bloom. It's so green and there's a lot of shade from all these trees. And it's really just, it's very gorgeous, hence why we call it the pretty route. But recently, you know, when we went on this pretty route today, it wasn't looking so pretty. It's looking more gray, more like the gray route, the barren route. A lot of dead trees, a lot of gray leaves on these trees. But, you know, honestly, it's what we were expecting, right? No one's expecting to go outside and see this blooming tree. You know, I have a peach tree in my backyard, which you may remember. I'm not expecting to go out tomorrow morning and see this peach tree in full bloom. It's the wrong time of year for that. But there's a section of Scripture where Jesus seems to look at a tree and says that it should be in bloom when it seems to be the wrong time of year, when it seems to be out of season. So we're going to talk about this today. We're going to talk about why did Jesus curse the fig tree. So if you can begin turning over to Mark chapter 11. This is one of the records of where we see this take place. Mark chapter 11, we see that here, this is around the time of Pentecost. It would be coming up shortly. Jesus and the disciples are coming down from Bethany. They're heading to Jerusalem. And at this point, we see in verse 12 here that it says that Jesus was hungry. Mark 11, verse 12, he was hungry. Verse 13 says, and seeing from afar off a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. But when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And then we see in the following verse that he ends up cursing this tree and saying that no one will ever eat of its fruit. So at this, it's interesting to note a little interesting fact about fig trees. I didn't know this, but in looking into this, fig trees have two different harvests. The first harvest is known as the breba crop. The first harvest happens around April, and the main crop would be sometime late July, early August. And these are two different crops. You know, this breva crop is a lot smaller of a fruit. It's very immature fruit, but it's still fruit nonetheless. And this main crop is a lot sweeter, more mature fruit. But this breva crop, this first crop, it grows alongside the leaves. So when we see here in this verse that Jesus directly calls out that he went to see it because it had leaves, it's very odd that this tree wouldn't have fruit on it. You would expect this breva crop to have been growing alongside these leaves. But this absence of fruit on this tree was really indicating this tree's failure to produce something that it should have been, to fulfill its natural purpose. We also know that throughout Scripture, these fig trees, or fruit in general, tends to represent Israel, God's people, us. You know, we're supposed to be building our own fruit. We're referenced as trees or as vines that God prunes. And if you take that kind of that way, then we can look at this verse more from the spiritual side and say that Jesus here was making a statement here about spiritual barrenness. This is not just a physical thing, but he was talking about spiritual barrenness. You know, he expects fruit to be on our trees, just like he expects fruit to be on this tree here in Mark 11. He expects his people to bear spiritual fruit. And I don't think that there's many coincidences in the Bible. And so when you look at the following verses, this is Mark 11, 15 through 17, I don't think it's a coincidence that the thing that happens right after this is that Jesus goes in and cleanses the temple. This is a section of Scripture that I'm sure we're all quite aware of. But this is where he goes in and overthrows the money changers' tables and the people who are doing business inside the temple at that time. And then right after that, we again have this down in verse 20, We have them passing by this fig tree and seeing it dried up. So we have these two instances of the fig tree, and sandwiched in the middle is this section of scripture about Jesus cleansing this temple. You know, when you think about a temple, you think that this is some place that's bustling with religious activity. But what Jesus found inside wasn't what he should have found inside. You know, it's much like this fig tree, where there should have been all of this fruit on this tree. There should have been not just this outward appearance of spiritual fruit, but there should have been actual fruit. But like this fig tree, when Jesus went to the temple, there was no spiritual fruit that he found. Like the fig tree, it gave the outward appearance of life, but it, again, failed to fulfill its purpose. We see that throughout Jesus' ministry, he would continually chastise the Sadducees and the Pharisees about how much they wanted to be an outward-focused people. They wanted to, you know, when they paid their tithes, they wanted to be the loudest. When they fasted, they wanted everyone to know that they were fasting. These are all exterior things that they wanted, almost this praise from other people about how good of a Christian they were. When in reality, we see that Jesus did not find the spiritual fruit that he wanted to find. They were all fig trees that were full of leaves but didn't have any fruit on them. But they should have had the fruit on them. This fig tree and this section about the temple illustrate the same principle, that God rejects this outward appearance of spirituality without any form of genuine spiritual fruit. Let's turn over to John 15. We tend to know what fruit in the Bible symbolizes. You know, it symbolizes a right way of living, a way of living that's living like Christ, obedience, love, righteousness, justice, mercy, and faith. You know, these are the things that show true fruit in us. John 15, verse 8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples." So we clearly see here that Jesus is stating that fruitfulness is the evidence of a genuine discipleship of God. It's that we're supposed to have this fruit. We're not just supposed to be this outward focused, we're not supposed to just be this tree with leaves on it, but we need to be growing our spiritual fruit. Again, throughout the Bible, we see this image of barren trees to warn about judgment. Matthew 7, verse 19 is a great one for your notes. It says that every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by your fruits you will know them. That's Matthew 7, 19. So, I mean, what we see here in Mark 11, this isn't something that is surprising at all. This is something that God says will happen. If we don't fulfill our purpose in creating these spiritual fruits, in developing our spiritual character the way we should, then we can expect to be thrown into fire, just like we see in Mark 11, verse 20. I also think this is a very interesting principle when you tie it back into the time of year we're in. I mentioned at the beginning, you know, we're in the winter, or we're coming into the winter. This is a desolate time of the year. And just like it is outside, this is a time where we just came off this high of the Feast of Tabernacles. And so it's easy kind of to get in this lull of almost a spiritual dormancy until we hit the spring holy days. And there's 5 months between the fall holy days and the spring holy days. It's easy to just not focus on God the way we should between these two. You know, when the excitement of the feast fades, and we don't really have anything to look forward to for the next couple of months, it's easy to let our own spiritual fruit dwindle. But that's not what we're called to do. God expects continual growth and readiness to bear fruit regardless of how we feel, regardless of what time of the year it is, regardless of whether it's during the Feast of Tabernacles or not. But like this fig tree, we must avoid this trap of looking outwardly righteous. You know, we go to church, or we go to the holy days, or we serve in the church. We can't just be outwardly righteous, but we have to be inwardly righteous and truly growing in our relationship with God and with becoming more Christ-like. You know, this season between the Feast of Tabernacles and the spring holidays is truly a test of whether we are producing the spiritual fruit that we need to be producing, or are we just showing leaves? Are we just showing this outward appearance of spirituality? If you're here in John 15, let's go back a couple of verses and read verse 4. John 15 and verse 4, you're probably already here. So it says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." So this is just telling us, you know, how we're supposed to grow this physical fruit. It's by being Christ-like, drawing closer to God, continuing to grow our character and relationship with God on a daily basis through prayer and Bible study and fasting. So in conclusion, this fig tree that we see here in Mark 11, this wasn't something that was out of season or Jesus Christ was unfairly expecting it to have fruit when it actually should not have had fruit. This tree should have had fruit. It should have been growing this fruit alongside its leaves, but it was only full of leaves. It was only full of this outward expression. And very similarly, in the temple, the people at that time, they were very showy with their religion instead of actually growing the spiritual fruit that we need to be growing. This was a symbolization of the hypocrisy and the fruitlessness of the leaders of the time, and it's a stark reminder for us that God will cut us out if we're not growing the fruit that he expects us to be growing. God values fruitfulness over a religious appearance and continues and expects us to continue to grow. So use this post-feast season as a time to reflect and to make sure that all of us are not just leaves on a tree, but to make sure that all of us are growing our fruit on our trees.